Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
So, a split decision. Draw at the Staples Centre is what we're talking about. Deontay Wilder retains his WBC heavyweight title. Tyson Fury emerges as the rightful winner in many people's eyes after 31 months out of the ring, suffering with depression, which in his own words took him to the brink of suicide. There were issues with drink and drugs and with his weight. He lost 10 stone to fight again. And now there are imminent plans for a rematch in Vegas in the spring. Andy Lee is fresh off a plane, literally, and he's joined us in studio. He was ringside for Five Live alongside Mike Costello on Saturday.
So can Deontay Wilder turn it around? And as we look around at ringside here, everybody showing their appreciation by rising to their feet, putting their hands together. 3 minutes remaining. Is there some final drama to be played out here? Tyson Fury on our cards is in front. There are others at ringside who have him in front as well. It has been a quite remarkable performance, and a lovely right hand from Fury gets through, and it's a brilliant right hand left hook from Deontay Wilder. Tyson Fury is down flat on his back in the early stages of the 12th round. The most dramatic, sensational turnaround from Deontay Wilder, just as Fury was looking confident. And Fury is on the most unsteady legs with 2 full minutes to go. Can Wilder turn it around? Right hand, left hook, right hand again. Wilder swinging away, true to his name here. 1:50 to go. Can Fury hold on? There's nothing left in those legs. He wobbles towards the centre of the ring. He tries to get up on his toes. Wilder also is tired, but he wings in with another combination. Overhand right, left jab. Fury somehow is managing to swerve away from danger. Left hook from Wilder. What a dramatic finish. Fury has the temerity to put his hands behind his back and lands a left hook. And now it's Wilder who holds on. This is turning into the most dramatic heavyweight championship contest. The division is alive again. Fury lands a left hook, an overhand right. Where has he dredged up this spirit from? The gypsy fighting man is coming back, and he might well be in control here again. Who on earth could have predicted such a finish? What can they produce here in these last dying seconds of a memorable heavyweight championship night here in Los Angeles? Fury up on his toes, another right hand from Wilder, and the left hook is the last punch of the contest. Fury makes him miss, runs around the ring, jumps up onto the ropes on the far side of the ring and celebrates. There are wild celebrations here in the Fury corner. They are convinced that he's done it. Whatever the result, this has been a memorable night. A memorable heavyweight night here in Los Angeles. Be in no doubt, the division is alive and well again.
How did I get up from the knockdowns? I don't know. I had a holy hand upon me tonight and brought me back. And I got a good fighting spirit, and you know, I never say die. I get back up, and you know, even in the 12th round when I got knocked down heavy, I got back up and probably won the round. The lineal heavyweight champion of the world, they ain't just going to lay down because I got punched in the face and knocked down. We get back up and fight. I'm not the lineal champion for nothing. And this is the first time, every time a lineal heavyweight champion has come back from years out of the ring, he's been destroyed. So I set a precedent tonight. I think I'm the first one to come back and do well. There was about 8,000 travellers and Brits have come from around the world, 10,000. They probably would have smashed this arena up if I'd have instigated it. I mean, to the floor. And like I say, I wasn't fighting for myself. And when I was down, I wasn't just down on that campus in round 12 for me and my family. I was representing everybody who suffers around the world. I had to get up. I couldn't stay down. I had to get up and show that you can continue and you can carry on and anything is possible.
No wonder AJ didn't want no part of that right hand. He can't move like me. He'd have been nailed. I stood up for my country. I stood up for my people, my pride, my family name, and I represented the United Kingdom and Ireland tonight.
I got out of the game plan a little bit because I was trying to get him out of there. And I know when I try to get a guy out of there, it never happens. It never happened. I know that. That's a lesson I learned a long time ago, and I just resort back to it. I could never, you know, get out of there. I wanted to get him out. I guess it was just the building up to the fight, you know, just really just wanting to knock him out, you know, for the fans, first pay-per-view, just, you know, all that stuff. All that stuff take accountable. But like I said, I'm a man of few excuses. You know, I'm very happy with the performance. I'm happy with the outcome, and we live to see another day and do it again for you guys. You know, the fans win. The fan win in this one. You know, this was a hell of a fight to really just determine who's the best in the heavyweight division. And the heavyweight division is just on fire right now. You know, I think this takes it even more farther to the top.
And there we are. Andy Lee, fresh off a flight, literally from Dublin Airport. We thank you for coming in. Are you wrecked? Are you tired? You're okay?
Re-energized listening to that commentary. Is Mike Costello is unbelievable. Even just to be sitting beside him and listening, I'm in amazement at him, how he can just articulate what he's seeing in the ring in the instant, you know, and describe it in such a succinct way. And
what a voice.
Yeah, and it really it makes it an occasion, you know, and an event. And what a fight. You know, what a fight, what a privilege to be there and to see it live and to be around it and to be working there as well. You know, you get to have access to these guys and get to see a little bit behind the scenes and knowing Tyson personally, you know, getting to talk to him and reconnect with him. So it was nice. I had a connection to the fight in that sense, you know.
He mentioned the 10,000 who travelled over. Mm. What was the atmosphere like in the arena? Was it partisan? Was it, you know?
No, he alluded to it there, and it was a very good point he made, because he kind of led the narrative in a sense, because had he got on the microphone at post, because there was people were getting a little bit upset because nearly everyone in the stadium, especially his fans, believed he won the fight.
Yeah.
I only gave Ryla one round outside of, and that was the third round, outside of the two rounds he scored knockdowns. There were some rounds that were very close, and there were rounds there where not a lot happened.
Yes.
One punch could have separated the fighters, and so those rounds could have gone either way, but to me, I thought Fury won quite clearly. And even the rounds he got knocked down on, he finished strongly, and there was an argument that he could have won the round outside of the knockdown. So had he got up on that microphone after the fight and screamed robbery and
scandal,
and not happy and was angry, there would have been trouble. I believe there would have been a riot, nothing like just short of a riot. But because he was calm and measured and quite jubilant after he saw himself as the winner, even irregardless of the result, and that reflected in the demeanors in post-fight interviews and in the weigh-ins. In the press conferences. You could see who won the fight. You know, I think without the result stating it, you could see how they carried themselves, who felt had won the fight.
Wilder's corner almost had to tell him to celebrate.
Mm, yeah.
Bell. Like, come on.
Steve Bunce was on the ring and he told me after the fight they were coming over, before the decision was announced, you know, there's always a few minutes before the decision is announced, between the bell and the decision, that some of Wilder's team were coming over and they were like giving him a fist bump and saying, congratulations, you know, your man got it, or whatever, we'll get it next time. Not really admitting defeat, but saying, you know, alluding to it. And then once the decision was read out, oh, it was a good fight, a draw was fair, you know, that was their response then. Judging in demeanors and how that, you know, it was Wilder who was the desperate one in the final round trying to get the knockdown, and he almost got the knockout, you know. And I know it's been said, but how Fury got up after that punch,
yes,
it's beyond, you know.
Well, let's tease that out in a few moments' time. For people who haven't seen the fight, and there may be many, and I've had the misfortune of having to watch this back this morning knowing everything that was going to happen. So much of the tension that was in the air, I didn't have. I knew he was getting up after 12, for instance. So Phil Edwards, the British judge, had it a draw, 113 to 113. The other judge had it 114 to 110 in favour of Fury. And then the Mexican judge had it 115 to 111 in favour of Wilder. So you're shaking your head at that point.
That's a scandalous one. Even with the English referee,
Phil Edwards,
he didn't give Fury any of the first five rounds. And those were probably definitely his best rounds.
How many of the first five did you give him?
I gave him all but one, 4-1, yeah. I gave him round 3 to Wilder.
Can I say, Joe, jump in then? Because I'm the layman watching. I knew, obviously, so I'm watching this knowing everything that happens. And I've heard in advance that in the first half of the fight, Fury took most of the rounds. Yeah. My sense watching was, and I don't for a second suspect you're wrong about this decision, but there didn't seem to be much in those rounds. Not much happened, I would say.
Well, I guess we were kind of swayed because the fight was going the way Fury wanted it. He was kind of leading the dance, you know? And he was kind of confusing Wilder. And even if he wasn't scoring punches, his ring generalship was better. And that's a scoring element in American boxing as well.
So what do you mean by that?
He was manipulating Wilder to his will, in a sense, that Wilder was swinging and missing and becoming frustrated. And that's almost a negative against you. Like, and would throwing punches and not landing punches is almost a point to the
mark against you. Because I was going to ask you about that. Miss. Yeah, I was going to ask you how much weighting you would give. Because, I mean, again, to my very uneducated eye, it looked like Wilder was certainly trying to throw more punches, and you could argue maybe trying to take the fight more.
And in America, they do reward aggression, you know.
But when he misses.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't. It looks bad.
Mm, okay.
The thing I would say about
because I'm trying to understand how
English
this Mexican judge did
referee
this.
Is. He probably didn't want to look to be favourable to Tyson Fury, and it's probably overcompensated in the other way.
Yeah.
To Wilder.
And what about the Mexican judge? How do you read that?
I who knows? You could cry conspiracy. You know.
It's that bad.
Yeah. If I was thinking, this is only my own personal. If there is a plan for Wilder to fight Anthony Joshua next, there's no possible way they could have this fight, have him losing in this fight, because how could they build a fight with him and Joshua then?
Yeah.
You know, and there's been some rumors that fight's agreed in principle. So I don't know, but there's been rumors going around that they're gonna have that fight.
But the decision is so bad that you're not dismissing any rumors, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. It would, we'll play into the conspiracy theories.
Yeah. Steve Bunce, I was listening, was talking in Five Lies as well, and he said, you know, worst case scenario, like in the most partisan in favour of Wilder situation, you might have had Fury by 3 rounds. Mm. And he even said in the 2 rounds, the 9th and the 12th, where Fury was knocked down, he said you could argue, miraculously enough, that Fury still won the round, so instead of 10-8 rounds, they should have been 10-9.
Well, the 12th, more so, I know it was a huge knockdown.
We'll come to that in a second. We'll tease out that in a second. But did he win those rounds?
The ninth round, Deontay did he completely exhausted himself,
right,
trying to get him out of there, which he should have done. But he should have been a bit more methodical, maybe, and not load up as much, and because he didn't need to throw hard punches, because at that stage Fury's legs were gone in the ninth round. As I said, he exhausted himself. So coming towards the end of the round, up to the point of the knockdown, Fury was winning the round. Then he had maybe that minute where he was trying to get him out of there. But then after that, Fury wins the end of the round. Mm. So, look.
So that could be 10-9.
I don't think we should go too much. The result is, nothing's going to change it.
Sure.
The fight itself was an unbelievable, thrilling, dramatic fight, you know, and that's what should be celebrated, I think.
Totally. Yeah. We'll get into it. It's hard not to focus to get your thoughts on the decision, though, especially when.
I thought Tyson won, and yeah. I thought they robbed him. That's it, plain as simple as that. I thought he won the fight, and I thought he boxed superbly. And when you put it into context, I know Muhammad Ali had 3 years out of the ring, but all that time, he was training, he was having exhibitions, he was having almost fights in the gym, and he was preparing for his comeback. It was just a matter of when, I guess.
Yeah.
Now he came back. He arguably fought better man Jimmy Ellis, and then fought another fight, and then he fought Joe Frazier for the world title. And he lost in that fight in the comeback fight for the title. But you look at Fury's years out, almost 3 years out of the ring. He's come back, he's had 2 exhibitions. But when you put it in the context of the weight gain and loss, the mental health issues, the addiction issues with drugs and alcohol abuse, and to come back and challenge the most fearsome puncher, one of the most fearsome punchers ever in the heavyweight division.
Yeah.
And to me, all but win it except on the scorecards. It's one of the greatest comebacks of all time. And he's redeemed himself. Look, I know that he's been a controversial character in the past, his comments he's made. But we have to, I know him personally, and I believe that was coming from a dark place where he was, his current state of mind at that time. And I believe he's redeemed himself, he's learned, and he's hopefully a better man through all this stuff that he's had to go through, you know. And I think you can see that in his demeanour and how he carries himself now. Like, those post-fight press conferences and interviews that he's done, if anybody else was saying the words he was saying and reacted the way he did, they'd be holding him up as that.
As a brief aside, is he going to continue to lose more weight? Or is he a good
I think he's there now. I think he'll probably gain weight if he loses the flab, a little bit of flab that he still has, and gains muscle now.
Yeah.
Because compared to the weight, it was a similar weight when he fought Klitschko, but he was definitely a lot more muscular.
Sorry, that's what I guess. Yeah. There's weight around the hips that kind of catches the eye. So he'll lose that still. He's not at his perfect fighting peak weight yet.
I think
Or body fat percentage anyway. So the 12th then, the knockout. Mm. You're ringside, or a seat back from ringside, certainly.
Yeah.
You have a good view of this.
He got lazy. He was very, like, whenever his back was to the ropes, he was very switched on and very alert, and he was twitching and moving and nullifying anything that Wilder could do. Mm. And when he wasn't doing that, he was tying him up. I thought if anything he could have tied him up a bit more, because that would have tired Wilder even more than he was, and it would have made him have to reset, you know. But what he was doing so well when he was at his best rope was that he would get to the rope, he would do the pattern of head movements, turn Wilder and then counter him again. And it was beautiful to behold a man of that size to do that with that ability, that agility and like coordination. Like, they're middleweights who can't do it.
Right.
And he's 6'9" and he's doing it, you know. And so he was doing it. So when his back was rope, he was very switched on, but he kind of got a bit lazy because he was in the center of the ring and he probably wasn't as switched on defensively. And Wilder adjusted his right hand. Wilder was all kind of overshooting the right hand all night.
Yes.
He was like overshooting all night. And he mentioned that's not in the clip, but that he kind of overextended his elbow a couple of times to the point of hurting himself. And that was down to Fury making a miss. But he was overshooting. And what he'd done in this, for the one that knocked him down, he just kind of threw towards Tyson's chest. And Tyson kind of made a lazy defensive move as he dipped, and he caught it right square on the side of the jaw. That I think he was knocked out from that punch, but for just a good measure, there was a left hook that followed it that kind of caught him as well on the way down.
A decent left hook, actually.
Yeah, no, yeah. It was full, like.
So he took two big punches, and there was a jab just before that. Nothing extraordinary, but.
No, but yeah, but the right hand was the bomb.
And how good a right hand was it? Like, I mean,
it would have knocked out anybody. Like, you know, I don't know how he got up. Like, that's the pattern of what Deontay Wilder fights up to this point in his career. That
39 knockouts out of 40.
39 knockouts out of 40, and the one guy who went the distance with him, they had a rematch and he knocked him out in one round. So that'll tell you the kind of puncher he is, and it's not an understatement to say he's one of the biggest punchers in the history of the heavyweight division.
Okay.
And that's the pattern. At some stage, he might be losing, he might not be doing well, but at some stage, 12 rounds is a long time.
And is that why, sorry to interrupt, so when I'm watching this morning, and I found the first seven rounds, I thought the seven round thing started to bubble up very nicely, but first six rounds I almost found them a little bit mundane because I knew there was no knockout happening. But I suppose if you're there during those six rounds, they are heavy with tension because you know it could come at any moment.
And those the ones that were missed, they were just whistling by his chin by an inch, you know?
Yeah.
And
which speaks of the skill of Fury to dodge them.
Yeah.
So he goes down. Is the referee within his rights when that right lands followed up by the left? Is he within his rights to go done?
Yeah.
Okay.
With Jack Reese did a great job now. I've seen a couple of people like imply that he was at fault. The Wilder camp think that he gave him a long count. I've watched it and he doesn't. Tyson starts to arise at 6 or 7.
Mm.
When you're in the ring at the time, it seemed like he was down there for an age.
For people who didn't see it, I mean, Wilder has said he effectively felt he saw Fury's eyes roll back in his head. So, I mean, he lies hands
He's completely
spread.
Limp and, you know, it doesn't look great.
He's not moving.
Looks bad, like, you know, like.
For a good 5 seconds, anyway.
Yeah. And
suddenly
somehow
starts to move.
He starts, he raises his head and says, I just think he's lying there on the ground. He's lying there on the ground and he says, I'm done now, I'm done.
Mm.
And then he says, no. And he just gets up, you know, he just gets up and he was on his feet in a matter of 2 seconds.
Is he renowned for being able to take punches?
He's been dropped before. This is the third time in his career in a fight that he's been dropped.
Right.
And he's been dropped by lesser punchers than Deontay Wilder. And that's probably why his defense is so good, and because he's had to been, you know, he's had to been.
But that was the biggest shot he would have taken by some distance.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he got up and
There was an you can give us your sense. There was an interesting exchange whereby Fury, for people who haven't seen it, didn't say Bader didn't pay for it. So Fury says, I'm okay. And look, he's kind of, we're getting into 8.5, 9 territory by the time he's properly back in his feet, and he puts his two hands on Jack Rees' shoulders as if to say, I'm good to go. And then give us your sense. My sense was the referee was still concerned about him because of the size of the punch, and he actually told him, I've heard people say that Fury did it off his own bat, but he actually, if you watch it back, said to him, take a step to the right for me. He wanted to see him move for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
And Fury actually not just took a step, but almost danced.
Yeah, yeah.
And then came back to him.
Yeah.
Now, people have turned that around and said, well, that's him giving him extra time. But I thought he was really checking he could move before he took another punch.
Yeah, it's the protocol of the Californian Athletic Commission, because there had been, that was obviously previous fights on the undercard, and there were several knockdowns. And every fighter got that chance to walk towards the referee to make sure they were okay.
Okay.
So there was nothing out of the ordinary there.
So if the Wilder camper...
And if Wilder had gotten knocked down at any stage, which could have happened in the fight, because he was hurt a few times, he would have got the same benefit. So... Okay. That's all it is.
The extraordinary thing then is this is not a 2 minutes of hanging on from Fury.
No. It's hands behind the back, flicking out the tongue and goading Wilder, and then Wilder becoming demoralised and he's exhausted as well. Like there was over 40-pound weight difference between the two of them. Mm. You know, Wilder never came in that light since his debut in a fight, and I thought, looking at it from the outside, that they must have been looking for. Their approach would be to have the advantage in speed, that they thought they were going to, you know, kill Fury with speed. But there wasn't much disparity between the two of them,
yeah,
in terms of speed when the fight was unfolding. He didn't look any faster than Fury.
I was just amazed at Fury's fitness to take that punch, 12 rounds, 31 months out in two exhibitions, as you've said. I even thought if he hadn't taken a punch all fight, that by the 12th he'd be standing there in bits.
That's why it's just a remarkable performance and a remarkable comeback. Like, and it's hard to get your head around and hard to really do justice for what he's done, you know.
Yes.
And it's just to witness it. It's been something special.
I do wonder, over the next 24, 48, 72 hours, will disappointment start to rein in? What he has done is extraordinary. If he had won in the States, it would have capped up. You know, you could argue that is the greatest comeback in the sport, if he had won. And based on what you're saying and what lots of people are saying, he's been robbed of that a little bit. And he handled it very well in the night, yeah. But I think when in the quiet of the flight home, he might think to himself, actually, that's not right.
Yeah, or maybe in a week when he sits down at home, watches the video, he might be... But he's been quite philosophical about it, you know, and that's probably the best approach, because he's won the moral victory. And in everyone's eyes now, he's probably the number one heavyweight in the world.
Interested for your thoughts on Ben Davis and his young coach. In his 20s still, and this really, I mean, he's never coached at this stratosphere at all. And, you know, you see Ricky Hatton and Freddie Roach in the corner as well. How did that trio work, and how do you feel now about Ben Davison?
I'm hugely impressed with him. Looking from the outside, you know, he's a guy who kind of became friends with Tyson and then they decided to train together. And you'd always question that. Did he have the kind of respect from Tyson? Was he the authority in the gym and also when the fight unfolds in the corner? And, you know, Tyson had been with his uncle for the Klitschko fight, Peter Fury, and before him was his other uncle, Huey Fury. So he'd have that family connection, kind of that authoritative figure that when he got the instructions, he would respect it and go out and try to do it. And you'd ask, those are the only questions I had about Ben Davison being the lead in the corner. Mm. Bringing in Freddie Roach, who I thought was a great move. Having Ricky Hatton there was a great move, because obviously it fills the void in experience and inexperience for him. And it also shows that he's comfortable within himself to say, look, I need help. I don't know these things. And also bringing Freddie in, which was a great move, is that Freddie is obviously based in California, so he knows the lay of the land.
Yes.
And the commissioner are not going to try to bully him or be, you know, try to pull any sneaky moves on him. Freddie Roach, and he knows the game inside out. So that was also a very good move by them. And then he was very good. Like when Tyson Fury was knocked down in the last round, now the commission, some of these commissioners where you fight, it's like it's all about them and their rules, and they can't be seen to, you know, to. They're like almost like the law, you know. The law in the fight game. But so Ben Davison was trying to get up to see Fury and see if he was okay, because that, to me, that's the most important thing. Because a fighter and a coach, they know each other and they know if the fighter's hurt and what he needs. And if he has to make a decision to pull his fighter out, he's got to be able to see him. But there was a full-on physical fight in the corner between Ben Davis and one of the commissioners, where they were just both of them wrestling. He was trying to get into the ring or get up to the ring, and the commissioner was. And he showed that he cared, you know, and he showed that he could be cool under fire in the midst, in the chaos of a battle, that he could be cool. And they had a great game plan. Like, the game plan was nothing out of the ordinary for Fury, because that's how Fury fights.
Yes.
But there were times when Fury was going to go into Wilder, and Wilder was looking to set traps, and they were saying, like, stay back, you know, you could see them. And I thought they got it spot on, so very impressed with him.
And was there much talk between Davison and Roach and Hatton? Were you looking over?
Not really, but what I've heard since, I couldn't see it at the time, but that they were exchanging just a few words.
Yeah.
You know, just a few words here and there.
Yeah.
And but they seemed to be pretty united in what they were saying.
And I heard you make the point that as Wilder's making his very produced entrance, there was attention to detail in the Fury camp during
that. I thought it was very good. They brought their pads, the mitts, because in the Klitschko had similar entrances to the ring, and what would happen was the opponent would end up standing in the ring for a good 5 or 6 minutes and would become cold physically.
Yeah.
And then always it's hard to get into the fight after that. So they brought their mitts and they started doing pad work in the ring, you know? And that also showed another security in both of them that they were willing to do that. I thought it was a very smart move.
We heard Deontay Wilder there at the end make the point that AJ doesn't want any of this, that he would have been nailed by that right hand. He doesn't move as well as, or Fury said it actually.
Yeah.
Sorry, Fury said he doesn't move as well as me. So that's why maybe he doesn't want any of this. Give us your assessment of that then, having watched that fight. So Joshua's going to fight Dillian Whyte in April?
None of these fights confirmed.
Okay, I think, but the word is April.
Yeah, well, he has a date for April.
Okay, but it's not confirmed.
Yeah.
Okay. So Penny, for his thoughts watching that fight on Saturday night.
I think he'd be quite happy looking at that fight, because both guys showed vulnerabilities. Obviously Tyson being knocked down twice, and then Deontay not being able to finish Tyson and looking quite limited in his boxing ability. But he would also be worried too, because of the power of Deontay Wilder and also the boxing skill of Tyson Fury. If he had to pick one that he was going to win, it would be Wilder, because I don't think he wants to go anywhere near Fury.
Because of the boxing skills?
The boxing ability, the power, and the boxing brain. Yeah.
What does Joshua have that they don't?
Joshua has probably similar power to Wilder. It's hard to gauge, isn't it? Yeah. Who has the most power?
Get a machine.
Yeah. What Joshua definitely has more basic fundamentals. He's a lot more he's a classical boxer.
Like an orthodox technique.
Yeah, yeah. He's technically better than Wilder, and he's also more robust physically. He has more power than Fury, Joshua, but in terms of boxing ability, he's nowhere near. Like, it's only been 10 years since he's only been boxing from amateur. 10 years as in Joshua. So he's still an infant in the game, really, and he's still learning. You can see that, and he's made huge progress in his last few fights.
Yeah.
So it's probably a smart move up to this point to keep him away from these two guys, but I think he'd be looking at Wilder and saying, that's a fight I can win.
Because Wilder started late as well, didn't he, relatively?
Wilder started at 18, yeah. So he's been at it a little bit longer. Like, if I was to rate them in terms of the best, I would say, at this point, Fury, Joshua, Wilder.
And it makes sense for Fury to push for this rematch, which seems to be happening now regardless. They're talking about Las Vegas in the springtime. Fury should do that, should take that fight?
Well, you'd think if they went to a rematch, both guys could be better. Well, Wilder could definitely be better, but Fury could be a whole lot better as well, because obviously he'd have more improved fitness, he'd have the sharpness, and he'd have the experience of going through this one more time already. Wilder could also improve.
Will he have learned things?
Both would have learned a lot.
Because you see, I'm half confused in that Fury has this is the brilliant boxer, the better boxer, and yet he's caught quite badly twice. So I know you said it's a bit careless.
Everyone's going to get hit.
Yeah,
like
but you're fighting Wilder. That's
yeah. That's I know you're not going to go through 12 rounds without getting hit.
Yeah,
no one is. You know.
Okay. So Fury may well have to take a punch like that again.
Yeah. And I think if they did have it, there'd be huge kind of not sympathy, but there'd be a huge amount of goodwill towards Fury, and even that would flow down to the judges this time, because they kind of always go the other way, you know?
Yeah. Frank Warren's made a complaint about the decision. I presume that will just go nowhere. And
he's put in a petition to the WBC for an immediate rematch, and it's being backed by the British Boxing Board of Control in England.
And is that quite a serious, significant thing, or is it like a...
Look, money talks in this game.
Yeah.
So wherever the money is, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, okay. Okay, listen, fascinating analysis as always. And final thoughts, to be there ringside, amazing occasion. Costello said the division is alive again.
Yeah, and it was just like, I just, you know, I obviously have a personal connection to Tyson. And when to see what he's come back from, where he was this time a couple of years ago, to be in there and do what he did and to get up like that and to represent himself and our people like that, it was, you know, it was filled me with a lot of pride.
Really, yeah. Did you see him at his worst?
Only from a distance.
Yeah.
You know.
He was on Joe Rogan recently. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw that, yeah.
And, I mean, he was very upfront and honest, and it just sounded like he was in the depths. Amazing to come back. Okay. We'll talk again soon. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah.
Go home and try and stay up until bedtime or you'll be in bits for a few days. Andy Lee, we'll take a short break.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.